Welcome to the Church Podcast, talking all things ministry to help you do church better. I'm your co-host, John Rinaldo, and sitting here with me is Mr. Chris Wesley. Chris, how are things on the East Coast right now?
Oh, man, the East Coast is bumping with this weird weather that we've been having. It's just I don't know about you, John, because you're in such a different kind of environment than we are, but we haven't really had much of a winter after, you know, that week in December or January when it was unbelievably cold. So, you know, we're like, do we wear sweaters? Do we wear jackets? You know, how do we do that? And I know people listening to this, it's maybe a week later from when we recorded this, but I think that's the big topic, that and the flu. You know, so although I have not been bit by the flu bug yet, how about you? Have you been?
Dude, I don't know if it was flu or not, but our whole family has been out at one point or another over the course of since November. So we just gotten used to it. And so we're kind of rolling with the punches here. And right now, believe it or not, it's raining in California.
Wow.
And thank goodness we need it. However, we also need to keep in mind the fire-scarred communities because rain after fire is bad.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a lot of rain coming through. So we're keeping an eye out, especially in farther north of me, Santa Rosa community.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be the first real big downpour since the fire. So hoping everybody up there stays safe.
Definitely. All right. We'll keep them in our prayers for sure.
Yeah, but absolutely.
So I'm excited for today's episode because you kind of brought up the subject.
I did.
And it does circle around me. And anytime we talk about me, it's very exciting. But why don't you give the little background of why we're talking about this subject?
So I was reading one of your blog posts on marathonyouthministry.com, and I actually really liked it. And the topic was how to avoid fundraising and still financially support your ministry. And so there were a lot of, I read the entire thing, but I have to say, I actually was turned off by your title.
What? Oh, man. Okay.
And you redeemed yourself a lot of the way. Now, that's just me. That's just John Rinaldo. Obviously, and I'm doing this in fun-loving way. But I thought the topic is important. As we talked about fundraising, and you introduced the idea of stewardship, and part of, you're speaking to a youth ministry audience as well, which I think is really important to recognize in your blog. And so I just thought there were some really good things that I want to emphasize, and there's some things that I'm like, I want to challenge a little bit. If you're okay with that, Chris.
I'm totally okay with it. But were you turned off by the title where you didn't read the blog post, or were you turned off because you just don't agree with the statement? Because obviously, I mean, I answered my own question. You read the blog post.
I did read the blog post.
Unless you were like, despite this title, I'm going to read Chris's stuff because I care about him and I'm going to support him.
So. It might have been that.
All right. All right.
Well, no, I think your title was actually really good because here's, you know, your audience. And so First of all, let me back up and say, if you haven't read it, again, go to marathonyouthministry.com. And the title is How to Avoid Fundraising and Still Financially Support Your Ministry. Now, here's why the title was really good. The title was really good because you know your audience, and you knew that people would be like, oh, I want to do that, because you know youth ministry people in the trenches of practical ministry, faith formation, sacramental prep, et cetera, oftentimes have no desire to do any sort of fundraising types of things, or in some cases, anything administrative at all. Am I right in saying that? I mean, is there truth to that?
Yeah, yes and no. Like, I agree with the first part, but the second part, there are a lot of people who do like doing the administrative stuff, including actually myself. I mean, I love, and maybe that's relative, you know, for youth ministers, because I mean, that's part of why Marathon Youth Ministry exists and we're doing this podcast, is because I love all the back end work that goes with youth ministry. And even though I don't necessarily do it well, I like studying budgeting and, systems and structures and things along those lines. And I found that there's a lot of people like that. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I knew that kind of title would draw people in because we hate the traditional aspect of fundraising. And I've worked now in two churches where fundraising really is not the focus of what we do. In fact, you know, it's this is your budget, and this is how you're going to work within that. Now, I understand that there are limitations to that, and not all churches can benefit from that now, but we'll dive a little bit more into that. I'd like to still hear a little bit more of like, okay, you didn't like the title, but you liked some of the content. Yeah. Let's flesh that out, John. Yeah, this is about you now. Like,
yeah, right. There you go. So let me go through some of the things that I'm like, right. Oh yeah, I'm 100% on some of the things I thought. So I was annoyed by the title, but you already, in your comment just now, you caveated it. Because you now said just now in the podcast, traditional fundraising. Okay, right. there's a caveat. Good. All right. I appreciate that. And that's what your article gets into. And so one of the things that you said, which was one of your, you start with a story basically of saying how you sat at a restaurant for 4 hours and you earned $200 and how many must have done that. I mean, I've certainly done that. It's like, okay, this was not a use of my time whatsoever at all. Right.
You right. Know, so. Right.
But I appreciated the comment that you said that put the focus on sometimes we put too much focus on resources and not relationships. And, and from your perspective, it's like, well, we got to focus on relationships first. So I'm not sure there's anybody in the world that would disagree with you on that statement at all.
Right.
You know, but the reason I had such an emotional reaction to kind of the beginning of the title is, You started to pull people away of saying, and again, you come back, but you pull people away of saying, oh, I don't want to do fundraising. I shouldn't do fundraising. I should never have to do fundraising. Now, you're not saying that, right? But the reality is, for me, I think all leaders in ministry need to be involved in fundraising in some way, shape, or form. Now, it may not be the funnest part of our jobs, but I think there is some responsibility to make sure that there are funds. Again, now you want to react right now, which I appreciate.
I do. But go ahead.
You go on to the article to kind of delve in a little bit more here. But I want to stop there and say that I think we do have a responsibility. And I think at some point in people's ministry career, in my career certainly, that we have to get involved in raising funds, whatever that looks like. And so you delve into the idea of stewardship. Into this article. And that's something I really like going into it, because one of the things that you mentioned is like, we got to raise givers. Right? Mm-hmm. And some of the statistics out there suggest that Catholics specifically give 0.7% of their income.
Yep. Less than 1%. Yep.
In a year, which is ludicrous, which is sad. But you delve into, and this is one of the things I really like too, is that we have created a culture in the church where we don't give.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? And then maybe that's a future blog post, you know, but we can certainly delve into that there a little bit. So, okay, I'll pause. You had some reactions.
Yeah. So, I actually do believe that churches could get to the point where fundraisers are obsolete, with one exception. And that's, and you know what? No, I'd even like church, and this might be ideal, but like I was going to say, with the exception of capital campaigns for buildings, but it really all comes down to timing, right? Fundraising is a way of getting money quickly, or quicker than especially if your parish does not tithe or your parish does not give. I believe if you can really focus on giving and tithing, that you know, parishes won't need to ask for extra collections, that they can tithe out of their worship offering and give to other charities like Catholic Charities, or support their local missions through that. I think it really comes down to how you communicate it. And see, I hear your reaction, and it's something that I've heard many times before, where we're looking at it. It's a question of, okay, how are we looking at money and the exchange that people have with money in the church? If you're looking at it as a way of fueling the church from a business standpoint, then you're right. Sometimes fundraising is necessary to get to that point, to pay the bills, to pay the salaries, to make that happen. But if you really want life change, I believe one of the most important spiritual habits or characteristics that people can have is being a tither, is someone who gives 10% of their income. And because when you do that, you bless the community in many different ways, because it is one of the only places in the Bible where God says, test me on this. And then secondly, you know, if people truly did tithe like the 10% of their salaries, budgets in the churches would be pretty incredible. Yes. And, you know, because people are like, well, we only make, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 a year. Like, what can we do with that? You're right. And in that case, you might need to fundraise. But at the same time, even if you live in a area where, say you have 1,000 parishioners and the median household income is $30,000 a year, which is pretty low, right? You would agree with me that that's pretty low. But on the majority, everyone tithed. So $3,000 a year times 1,000, and that's $3 million right there. So imagine like a church with only 1,000 people having a $3 million annual budget. Now, I don't know like if that would be the case in California, like how far that would go. But here in Maryland, a $3 million budget is kind of like what most of the wealthy churches around here have. Mm-hmm. So my point in this article, and the reason why I write titles like that, is to invoke these kind of conversations, because I think we're so reliant on the quick consumeristic exchange that happens in fundraisings, but we forget it. And we're tempted by the short-term results, but we forget about the long-term results. Now, to get from being a fundraising church to a church that's raising givers and raising tithers, there is that transition. It's not like I'm saying stop right now, all your fundraising, cancel everything that's funded with that. But you got to learn how to wean yourself off that, mm-hmm. and at the same time build that healthy habit. It's like, for example, you know, imagine we were eating unhealthy and we had to go to change to a healthy habit style. It's not like we're saying stop eating altogether. Just stop eating the junk food and start eating more of the healthy food.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Good. I'm 100% on board. Really am. So then now, here's where we ran into an issue.
Okay.
I'm interested in how some of your readers delve into this. And I think this is an important topic too, because now we look at the word fundraise differently. Mm-hmm. So you and I are defining it differently.
Okay.
Which is fine. So you're saying fundraise, you're talking about more event-driven, let's raise some cash really quickly outside of, say, the Sunday collection.
Right.
Okay. And see, when I think fundraise, I also add in the idea of the Sunday collection. I think when I think fundraise, I think of all the ways that my church brings in money, the events, if we do events, the weekly collection, if we do events. And so this is good. So right now, okay, what we have is a difference in how we define the word.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see if folks, you know, if you read, I encourage you, if you're listening to this, go read the article. And what is your definition of fundraising? You know, because I actually read it a little bit differently, because I agree with you, because I want to say that we should, I agree with you, we should get rid of all event fundraising. Because here's why. Events typically make 50 cents for every dollar, or you make a dollar for every 50 cents that you spend.
Right.
That's kind of on average. So that's an okay return on investment. However, it is the worst way to fundraise, because if you look at more of a traditional nonprofit way of doing it, if you send out a donor letter, right? Again, I'm talking like a nonprofit like Catholic Charities, or who doesn't have a Sunday collection, okay? So I'm putting the Sunday collection aside. If you send a letter asking for a gift, you typically spend 10 cents to make a dollar.
Right.
Okay, so what's more effective, spending 50 cents to make a dollar or spending 10 cents to make a dollar? You know,
And that's where, like, I would say if you can't totally cut off fundraising, like going to the letter format is, I think, the best next step. In fact, when we've done youth trips before, mission trips, we've had the students write letters to family and friends saying like, hey, will you sponsor me on this trip? Because you're right, like, what do you spend? A couple cents on stamps and you give them, or an email, and then people send in the checks and support that way. And one, and this is an important thing that I think we forget about, is you save so much time. You know, it's not just about wasteful, you know, like the turnover of, you know, every 50 cents you spend, you get it, you know, a dollar, but it's how much time are you spending on these event fundraisers? And that was like the main point. And this goes back to the target audience of youth ministers, especially, is you're spending time planning the fundraiser event. You're spending time getting the resources for the fundraising event. Also, what you get, like a couple hundred dollars or $1,000 off of the trip. I would rather spend more time finding an affordable trip, or I would spend more time talking to the kids about, hey, why don't you start saving a little bit better so that you can pay for this trip, and set that goal out there. So I think we do a lot of people disservice too by saying like, yeah, well, you know, I raised thousands of dollars for this fundraiser, but how much time do you spend on that? Like, how much money do you spend that you're not counting in preparing for that one fundraiser?
Yeah. And that's the one thing, you're right. That's the one thing that people don't do, is you got to take your hourly rate or your salary divided by it and figure out the hourly rate. And then you add that to the cost of the event. Right. So I'm making this up, right? You make $20 an hour and you sat there, Chris, for 4 hours. Let's just
right.
say that. Well, now just you sitting there for 4 hours, that's 20 times four. So that's costing you and the parish $80 because of your time, not to mention whatever prep work that you did before or after or like that. So already you raised $200. You've already spent $80 just sitting there, right?
Right, right.
And so that's a wash. So that's why it's 50 cents, you know, for every dollar, basically. And I think we need to be more effective about it, because what if we tithe, right? You know, I remember I've been in parishes where I had to push. We had, you know, some development people and some people who were focusing on fundraising, and their desire was to never deal with the Sunday collection at all. That they told me, like, well, I'm going to help bring in kind of major gifts, which are, you know, $10,000, you know, $5,000, you know, whatever, all good. That's good stuff. But I'm saying, how can you ignore the Sunday collection when that is your single biggest revenue producer?
Right, right.
But you're just going to not do anything with it. And this is where I think you and I are in agreement, where
yeah.
we be more intentional about how we do the Sunday collection piece of things, because my vision is the same as yours. Let's do no other fundraisers. So this is where your church is unique from any other nonprofit.
Right, right.
Because we've got people on Sunday and we have it built into the ritual.
Right, right.
Here comes the basket.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, and people are like, well, how do I talk about it? Well, there's 8,000 examples in the Bible. You know, there's over 8,000 like mentions of possessions and finances and belongings. And, you know, I think it's a matter of talking about, you know, that reminding people of a couple of key factors. One, everything that we have on this earth is not ours. It's God. And God put us in charge of it. He made us stewards. That's in Genesis, right? We're stewards of all the animals, all the plants, everything here on this earth. So we have to use it wisely. So that's like the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, we cannot love both mammon and God. We can't love stuff and God. So, you know, are you trusting your savings account more than you're trusting God's blessings? I mean, I love that verse in Malachi, because I think it's the most radical thing in the world, where God's saying, like, you know, before you do anything else with your money, just give me 10% of it and I'm going to blow your mind away with all these incredible blessings. I'm going to, you know, just give me 10%. You know, I don't need anything more, and I'm going to take care of you. And that doesn't mean like you just give 10% and you never save, or you spend like a crazy person. But, you know, it's like, are you trusting God? Are you giving him your best fruits first? Mm-hmm. And I think if you can do that, and I know from a personal level that I've been blessed in that way, you know, that's something that my wife and I talk about all the time. And we actually kind of laugh, because, you know, as a youth minister, and Graham, we're a two income household, but, you know, she's worked for Catholic Charities and nonprofits, but together we're always in the top 10 giving in the churches that we're a part of, which blows my mind, because we live in such affluent areas. And so for me, it's kind of like, man, people are not even tapping into the blessings that God can give them and how much different their life would look. So we're not just talking about let's fund an organization. We're talking about let's change lives in that regard.
Yeah. And that's where your article was really good, because two things you focus on was stewardship, which is good. I think we need to use the language of stewardship. But you talk about the focus on the vision and the mission. And again, that is what greater mission, vision than, you know, bringing souls to God, right? You know?
Right.
And so we have to figure out ways to make that resonate. Now, here's the question that people are asking when you talk about 10%. Before taxes or after taxes?
Well, do you want to be blessed grossly or net by God? You know, so it all comes down to that. It's before taxes. I mean,
So I say that jokingly because
if
we do either, we're in good shape. So you choose. If you're listening, you choose if it's before or after.
Right, right. It's not like God's like, oh, I'm going to bless this person a little less than that. No, he's going to bless you. It's just a trust thing. But
There's a comment that you made a little bit ago about you're always on the top 10% of givers, and that's awesome. And I want to honor that. But one of the things that we don't know, and I recognize this here being in the Bay Area right now, is that Catholic stewardship, Catholic fundraising, Catholic development, it's very competitive, right? In the sense, and not like competitive, like, you know, you've got Catholic charities fighting, you know, parishes, fighting dioceses, fighting whatever like that. Although sometimes it may come off like that. Having been involved in all those different roles here, I kind of see some of the tension. And that's okay. That's not bad, as long as we have earned relationship. But because as Catholic organizations, whether it's a parish, whether it's a diocese, whether it's Catholic charities locally or other, we have other Catholic nonprofits here, is that we have a target audience. Now, it's not the only audience. But the target audience is Catholics.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know, and so your comment is like, well, you know, people are, you know, aren't giving as much. Well, what you don't know, Chris, is that they're also giving, you know, money to Catholic charities. No, you're shaking your head.
I know. I mean, like, yeah, they're giving to other places. Like, I do believe that people aren't that, like, stingy.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's – even if you add what they're giving to – Christian-based organizations on top of, you know, the church, it's still not even.
It's not 10%.
It's not. Yeah. It's not even going to break 2%. It's not even going to break 2%. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
my whole point was just be careful of, like, because you don't know what's going on in their lives in terms of where else they're giving.
But let's talk about that too, real quick. Okay. Because I come from the school of Rebuilt, where we talked about that very situation, and so there's tithing and then there's worship offering, right? I believe that the tithe, as it says in Malachi, it goes to the whole storehouse, so meaning the local church. Mm-hmm. Everything else is a worship offering. So when my wife and I go to a fundraising event for the Catholic schools, or we go to a fundraising event for Catholic charities, you know, that's a worship offering. Even though, because in our diocese structure, what we're tithing anyway on a Sunday ends up going to those places as well. So mm-hmm. we're giving extra. So a worship mm-hmm. offering is more spontaneous. So I think it's important to define these, where tithing is, for me, in my definition, more specifically to the local church.
Interesting. Okay. And I'm not sure everyone would be in agreement with the choice of words, and that's fine. You know.
And let me clarify too, if we were really arguing, if people as a whole were giving 10% to Catholic or Christian-based organizations, it would still go back to the fact that we would be doing 1,000 times better than we are right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So, maybe more than 1,000 times. So let's talk about some practical steps, because again, I really did like your article. And so I want to delve into some fundraising ideas specifically focused on collection. How do we work the tithe? How are we much more intentional about making the Sunday collection more effective so that we don't have to do the events or some of the other things that are less efficient in raising funds. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I want to throw out there, and as if your parish doesn't have a database, you know, that keeps track of giving. Right. I mean, you got to do that, you know, and there's so many tools out there. You know, you start off with Excel, which is not efficient, you know, but then you start paying money for the actual databases, you know.
You mean I should update my leather bound ledger that I have that.
Please. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I just think, We have to capture this data. I know a lot of parishes are doing that. So I think people, a lot of people are going like, duh, yeah, of course, you know. But you don't know how to challenge people to give more if you don't know what they're giving.
Right,
and so this is where the metrics, I think, are really essential and important. It's like, where are people at? What are they giving on a weekly or monthly or yearly basis? Because that becomes the precipice of what I'm going to suggest as step two here in just a moment. Because we got to challenge people to give more, right?
Right.
And I think that's important. So, I mean, and the second piece is then you start challenging, right? You know, and so there's lots of ways, and you mentioned a couple ways, you know, I think you mentioned a couple ways in the article, but there's lots of ways that we can challenge people to start giving more, raising a generation of givers. First of all, I don't think we preach or do enough faith formation on stewardship or giving or tithing at all.
Right.
And so a lot of parishes would they keep track of everything on a database, and then they'll send a letter and say, I noticed that you gave, I'm making up a number now, I noticed that you gave $5,000,
right,
you know, in 2017. Would you prayerfully consider increasing your gift by X amount? Now, the good practice there is, yes, we should be doing the letter. So don't stop doing the letter, right?
Right.
And don't give them just a percentage, give them an actual dollar amount. So you can say, you know, would you consider your gift 5%, increasing your gift 5%, which would be $500, you know, so this year where you give $5,500 as opposed to $5,000. Now, if you're really sophisticated, then you break it down by week or by month. This is what your monthly gift would be.
So explain that a little bit about using the actual dollar amount versus a percentage. Like, does that break down the fear of how much that is, or?
No, it breaks down the unknown. A percentage is not a finite number
because
people don't get it. It's like, you know, okay, 5,000 to 5%. Well, actually, I did that wrong. I put $500. That's clearly 10%. But
good thing you're not in charge of money at your church.
Exactly, right? See, that's exactly it. This is why you don't just give percentage.
Right, right.
That you give the actual dollar amount. It's easy for me to understand. I want you to give $500 more a year or $5,500 a year than it is for me to understand, can you give 5% more?
Right, right.
It's just not concrete enough. And you can use both numbers if you want. But for me, it's about concreteness because now I'm the budget guy in my family. You know,
right.
So now when I get that letter, I'm like, okay, what does this look like on a monthly basis for me, and how much will we need to increase? Because I have the dollar figure amount. That's what I mean by putting the actual dollar amount versus the percentage.
Yeah, no. And I like that. I think that's definitely important. And you mentioned preaching. Preaching is definitely the way to go. You know, and I think it needs to be preached at all levels, not just in the parish, but in youth ministry as well as children's ministry. And to take a step back too, I think parish staffs need to sit down and ask one another, are we tithing? Like, are we tithing to this local church? And, you know, I remember having some of those conversations at, you know, Nativity where I was, and I really appreciated them because it did challenge me. It made me think like, all right, you know, I want people to be a part of this place, but now, am I really willing to, you know, put skin in the game, like really invested in it myself? And, you know, we weren't judged on whether we tithed or not, or how much we tithed, but it was constantly brought up. Like, are you tithing to this parish? Are you giving to this parish? And I think that's the kind of conversation that pastors need to have with their staff is, again, not like how much you're tithing, but are you tithing? Are you tithing to this parish? Because as a leader, you not only want your people to be invested in what you're doing, but also it comes back to, and this, it's funny because I feel like I can't stress this point enough. It's about their spiritual relationship with God. Do your employees trust God enough where they would trust giving him 10% of their salary? Mm-hmm. Now, I know people are like, well, why should I give to the church when they're paying my salary? That doesn't make sense. I'm paying myself. It's not about that. It's about your personal relationship with God. The third area, so, you know, we talked about preaching more, talking to your staff, but another area that I think is important is helping people get out of financial hell, you know, and for, you know, we need to do a video podcast because John just started fist pumping, air pumping, you know, so,
yeah.
But no, I mean, and this is something you and I have talked about, Like, I took a course, Financial Peace University, from Dave Ramsey, and it changed my life. It really did, because my wife and I, when we got married and we took the, I think it's called the Focus exam or something like that, like for pre-Cana, that was the one area we failed at. That was the one area we were just
connect on money.
We were like, if divorce is even an option, like, it'll be over money.
Well, and, you know, you would probably be the only couple where that's actually the case. Right.
So that's just me, but and my wife Kate. But yeah, so like for us, we always for a long time struggled with money, and then we took these. We took that. There was another one through Willow Creek Association. I can't remember what it's called. And then even learning how to teach students about tithing. That changed the way that my wife and I looked at it, to the point where whenever we've had transitions in life, like a kid, a car, job changes, you know, moving, we've said, you know what, we're not going to change how much we give. We're going to actually give more. Mm-hmm. If we're going to change it, we're not going to lessen it. We're going to either keep it the same or we're going to give more, because we really need to trust God with this. And yeah, you know, we're not living the high rolling lifestyle we want to, but we live a very blessed life. And that's because we educated ourselves on how to handle money properly. And I think as parishes, you know, whether it's signing up for Financial Peace University or one of these other workshops, or maybe you have a parishioner who is like a CPA or a financial investor that could help people get out of debt and whatnot. If you can help people get confident with their money, then of course they're going to be confident givers.
Look, you want to meet the real needs of your parishioners. Mm-hmm. Help them get out of debt. Help them deal with money, because I can guarantee you that people who are struggling financially are going in some cases, you know, well, they're not going to give as well. Okay, so that's part of it, right?
Return
on the investment, but more importantly, like that peace that people feel when they've got a handle on their finances. I mean, talk about a practical way to serve. Yeah, maybe it's not a spiritual discipleship formation piece clearly, but it actually is, because then the end, you're also talking about tithing as a piece of this.
Right.
Oh my gosh, yes. I want every parish in the world to do some sort of financial planning, you know, for their parishioners. So.
Well, maybe that's something you and I can work on in the future to provide those workshops. So just hold on to your hats for Marathon Youth Ministry and johnronaldo.com financial workshop.
I would love that. I would love that.
We'll call it How to Avoid Fundraising.
And with a little asterisk on the word fundraiser, it's like, how do you define this word?
But I think this is a conversation that we need to keep on having. It's one that we can't have enough. We'll put a link to the article in the show notes here on our website, thechurchpodcast.org. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you guys have, we would love to hear from you guys, questions that you have about fundraising, questions that you guys have about tips, habits, things that you've done that have worked really well. And to do that, just shoot us an email at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. We would love to hear you guys on that. Or leave a comment on my blog. Would definitely like to know how you guys are approaching this subject and what you're doing well and what you need to do more of. But definitely a subject we should approach in the future.
I feel like we just scratched the surface. Like, honestly, I'm like, I'm ready to go for like another 30 minutes on this. I'm just like, no, we're out of time.
You know? I know. Well, I'm glad that my words could inspire you to question me, John.
Always, you know.
Always. But yeah,
it is a very good article, though, actually. I really like it. You talk about focus on yourself first. It's talk about stewardship, talk about mission. And so I encourage every single one of you that are listening should definitely read that article.
Well, just wait till you read my article on how to avoid firing volunteers. So, great subject. Again, if you guys have questions@thechurchpodcast.org, you can download previous episodes on iTunes or go to our website, thechurchpodcast.org. You can also find me at marathonyouthministry.com, on Twitter and Instagram at Chris R. Wesley, and Facebook at Marathon Youth Ministry. John, they can find you at John. Go ahead.
Twitter at John Ronaldo, on Facebook at John M. Ronaldo, and then, of course, at johnronaldo.com. And please, if you listen to this and you are enjoying this and really getting value out of this, will you please share it? I mean, yeah, I would love for you to rate it and subscribe. you know, but share with others, because that's really, in this day and age, that's how this stuff gets out there. And so if you don't like it, then, you know, you don't have to share it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I would certainly appreciate it. It just helps us get the word out. And, you know, again, we're hoping to impact a lot of church ministry leaders and help everybody do church better. So
yeah,
that would be great.
Definitely. And we've got some fun interviews planned for the future, too. I can't wait to share them with you guys. But John, thanks for joining me. It's always a pleasure.